From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where transgender kids can see their identities affirmed with a new exhibit at the Boston Children's Museum. The exhibit is called Protect Trans Dreams, a Portrait Project. It's a collection of paintings that celebrate trans kids and their vision for the future. WBUR arts and culture reporter Cristel Aguera went to the exhibit and spoke with the artists behind the work. And she's here with us today to tell us more about it. Cristela, what's up?
Hey, Daryl. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm very excited to talk about this exhibit. It sounds like, you know, nothing but goodness and positivity. So many things we need right now. So can you please tell us about this exhibit? What was it like there? What was the scene? Give us the rundown.
Yeah. You know, when I first got there, it's interesting. You have to really find it. It's on, I think, the second floor. And there's an art gallery area. You know, there's kids playing everywhere, right? You walk in, kids are just uproarious. It was a Sunday I went on. And then in the corner, of this museum, you just see suddenly all these images that are like in pastels. You almost feel like the colors are like of like an Easter egg hunt or like a field of wildflowers. It's just very bright and happy. And then they're just portraits of kids in acrylics, the way that you would almost feel like you found in like a castle of royalty, right? These images of themselves portrayed exactly as they want it to be. Mm-hmm. And because it's so loud, you can't hear it. But above your head are recordings of the kids talking about themselves. You hear their voices just saying a bit about a few of their favorite things.
I love exploring woods, climbing trees, and taking care of my chickens. If I could change anything, I would want a world with no pollution.
I love animals, making art, and cooking clam chowder. I want to be a veterinarian when I grow up. My favorite animals are wolves, sloths, dragons, pandas, and my guinea pigs, Caramel and Oreo.
I want people to stop thinking boys can't wear dresses. There's nothing I want more in life than to wear dresses, write stories, and express all my crazy ideas. I want you to be yourself, and I'll be myself. Love yourself for who you are, and don't be afraid to.
It's kind of an immersive experience.
Yeah, it feels like it. I wish that folks could hear the sound more, but yes.
Now, what about the artist who is Noah Grigney? Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah. So Noah is a non-binary artist originally from Atlanta. They came out as trans at the age of 13, and they're a children's book illustrator. So what's also in the exhibit, you see these glass cases that are full of illustrations from this specific book called It Feels Good to Be Yourself. This project started just before the pandemic. They started getting to know these families. Apparently, I think some of these posts were on Facebook groups, you know, of parents of trans children. Mm-hmm. And they found these kids between the ages of, I think it was at the time, 6 and 12. And it took longer because the pandemic extended everything. So they really took time to just get to know each individual child and ask these children, you know, if someone were to paint you, what would you want to look like? And you can hear them talk about some of these preferences here.
For example, Lily wanted me to draw her hugging a baby coyote because that's her favorite animal. And she wanted me to draw her in a field of sunflowers. And Jupiter wanted me to draw him as a veterinarian with his guinea pig Caramel, with wolves in the sky.
So, Cristela, this exhibit sounds really dope. I am very curious to know, who are these kids? Can you tell me about them?
Yeah. So, Daryl, I only had the chance to really speak to two of them. You know, some of the parents didn't necessarily want their kids' names included. And so we tried to talk to the kids who were willing to talk to the press. Ollie, for example, is portrayed as an astronaut, and she is from Philly, and she was one of the first kids that Noah met. And she said one of the main things she wanted was to get rid of transphobic laws, and she wants to stop the war in Ukraine. And so something I mentioned in my piece is, like, for kids, nothing can't change. For kids, you know, bad things are just things that we need to fix. Mm-hmm. For adults, we view them as like, you know, this is never going to go away. But these kids, I mean, there were portraits of them with animals in the sky, like Noah said. There were portraits of them, you know, playing a guitar with green hair. They're just adaptable beings, and they're pretty self-aware, even at this age.
Yeah. And what I, you know, one thing I took from the story, what I really loved And what I need to be reminded of is that, you know, just because kids are young, that doesn't mean that they're dumb. They know what's going on. And I think, furthermore, they have an understanding and a grasp on how to deal with issues like gender. And you know, they got the pronouns down and they understand it's just about people being themselves at the end of the day. It's not so complicated. How did these kids react to seeing themselves celebrated, put on a wall in these colors in this joyous space? What was that like for them?
Oh, I mean, I only heard about what it was like. They had a private showing the day before it was open to the public. And apparently they were in awe of what Noah made because Noah listened, you know? And so for these little ones to have an artist listen to them and for them to have agency over their own image, and be portrayed in the gender and in the clothes and in the colors that they want it to be, I think is a really significant moment. It felt really important and special. And Noah did a watercolor workshop for other kids that weren't in the exhibit, but they learned about gender in the process of this watercolor workshop because they were asked by the artist, by Noah, to paint themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this one little girl who had a shirt that said, "Dragons are a girl's best friend." And she listened to Noah talk about gender. And her mother had talked to her about this before, so you could tell she had a sense for it. And then she looks down at her shirt and well, you can hear it.
I think after we heard the story, instead of a dragon is a girl's best friend, it should be a dragon is a person's best friend.
So I just feel like even just these sort of momentary, simple, age-appropriate conversations where parents are present, give kids a chance to know that like gender, like issues of race and identity are not scary things. And if anything, mm-hmm. I think it's the kids that are educating their parents on who they are.
Mm-hmm. Now to that, you know, these kids are understanding it. How did the parents receive this? What were they like?
They were nervous because right now their children are at a place where they can be whoever they want. This is all pre-puberty. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the parents were really concerned about talking to the press. A lot of the parents were concerned about having their last names in the story. I think the story was a bit like simpler, focused on joy, because that's what the exhibit is about. But the parents I talked to were honest with me and said, I feel like we're living in a really hard time. And right now, the parents very much are like, how can we protect our children and also allow them to be fully themselves?
Now, can you talk about the importance of such an exhibit at a time like this?
You don't often hear about trans children. And if you do, it's like adults arguing about them, you know, without their voices. Mm-hmm. So I think that at the forefront, let alone in the Boston Children's Museum, to have such a high profile place to show themselves for who they are. I think Noah, being that they came out at such a young age, have a really interesting insight. I think it'd be good to hear them in this question. And I'll just, there's a specific conversation we had about their experiences as a child you can hear here.
I didn't have a bathroom I could use for 1 year at high school. And I just held it every day. And things like that are like manifestations of transphobia that I normalized in my childhood because I came out as a trans boy 10 years ago in Georgia in a setting where nobody had context for that.
So, yeah, I mean, they went through a lot of the things. They're concerned about what these children are going to go through when they're older. They're worried about them not always being protected. They feel very protective of these kids because they want them to have an experience like anybody else. They want them to always feel this good about themselves.
Do you think there are enough exhibits like this one where people can see themselves celebrated?
We're seeing it more and more. I think museums are trying to reflect their community. I think you're seeing more of an effort around equity and bringing artists of color, bringing artists of all backgrounds and abilities. Nowhere near enough. We need a lot more of this.
Estella, this was a pleasure. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me, Daryl. I appreciate it.
That's WBUR arts and culture reporter, Estella Guerra. Normally in this part of the show, you'd hear about a few things that are also going on. But today, we wanted to try something a little different. We're going to talk about some things that, you know, that's been on our mind as we're out here covering the news and just trying to keep ourselves together. I've been thinking a lot about, you know, we just had the 4th of July weekend. There's been another mass shooting. There was a shooting in Philadelphia. But then also there was the police shooting of Jaylen Walker in Akron, Ohio. You know, all these things have been swirling around in my mind on top of things going on with the Supreme Court of the United States, you know, repealing rights and just enacting this what appears to be a right wing agenda. And all of this is heavy on my mind right now as I am, again, doing a deeper evaluation of what being an American means to me, because I am a Black man and I know my history and I know who I am. But I am seriously evaluating, you know, what's it mean to be an American right now, you know, and is it safe for me right now? And what am I going to have to do for that, to protect that safety, whatever safety I have? You know, just coming out of 4th of July weekend, I know it's the 6th, but I needed a day yesterday. You know what I mean? I needed a day to process and like recuperate, because it's a lot. So that's what's on my mind.
So Daryl, I hear all of that. And I feel like I'm working through some of that stuff, even just as, like, you know, we as a country are being called to celebrate this day. But who's celebrating, right? And who's independence, and who is it for? I covered something sort of related to the Trans Dreams exhibit last week. It was an artist talk on a mural, new mural in Austin, of Rita Hester, who was a black trans woman who was murdered in 1998, whose death started Transgender Day of Remembrance. And I did a piece a few years ago with a trans journalist who is really determined, I think, to solve that case, because we don't know who murdered Rita, even more than two decades later. But I got to meet Rita's family. I got to meet her mom before she passed. And this past week, I got to meet another one of her sisters. So now there is this magnificent portrait of Rita in the middle of this town she loved, across from the Model Cafe, which was her place. She was there like four times a week. You asked the owner. Everybody knew Rita Hester. And it didn't make a difference that she happened to be a trans woman, because Rita was the most unapologetic person about who she is, you know? And so whenever I come back to this story, there's both this like sense of sorrow that she's not here to be an example for these kids, that people can't meet her and see her and being as true to herself as she always was. And on the other side of that, I'm like, no one can miss her now. Her face is right in the middle of that square, right on Brighton Avenue. Everybody's gonna see Rita. And in that way, I'm like, okay, all right, so some of our faces are on these walls, but like, I think sometimes about the elders that we should have and the people that should be here fighting these fights that aren't. So that's what I've been thinking about.
Cristela, thank you so much for sharing that. And that's all for today. From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. See you tomorrow. By the way, every day you hear us tackle news in Boston on Consider This. Well, another one of WBUR's programs uses a wider lens. It's called On Point, and it's hosted by Meghna Chakrabarty. The show makes sense of the world, from the economy and healthcare to politics and the environment, and so much more. On Point talks with newsmakers and real people about the issues that matter most. Get the On Point podcast wherever you listen. Just search On Point and hit subscribe.